CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, morning.
Good morning, Flex. How are you? Put in this microphone. It's Friday.
Testing,
huh?
Testing.
Yeah, there we go. Hello. How are you, Flex?
Yeah, I'm good. It's Friday. Good. Let's get this weekend started.
I know.
And it's better than just Friday.
Yeah, why? Because
it's
Black Friday.
Black Friday. I've even decided to wear black on black on black.
Have you got all your shopping, your tactics right? And
sorted out
yet? You said you were going to work on a tactical plan.
So when I woke up this morning and I started looking at some of the deals, I was very disappointed. I mean, it's like 100 rand off like a 900 rand kettle. I was expecting to wake up this morning and it be like Reggie's Rush. Yeah. And I just swap my hand down an aisle and put everything in the trolley. But it's not that great. I'm still waiting for the big chains to come out. I think that comes out at 7 o'clock. They're going to release their emails. But I'm subscribed to them all. I'm very excited. I just want those deals where like it's usually like 2 grand and then they're selling it for like 800 bucks.
Oh, hey, Mubs.
Hi.
What's up?
Yeah. Carry on, Flex.
So I just want to make...
He wants good deals.
I want cheap shit.
Average deals. Listen. You will find some. I mean, I saw... And by the way, there are some places that are going online already with their specials today.
Yeah, but my girlfriend's already online shopping clothes.
Wow. There's a lot of action in the Flex household.
She got up at about 4 o'clock and started shopping.
Wow, you two are like bent on specials this morning.
Well, there's lots of things we had to get done today. We had to get flights because a lot of flight places are having specials.
Oh, wow.
And then there's my wish list and her wish list. And then she's doing her Christmas shopping today as well.
Where are you guys going to fly to, like locally?
No, so New Year's, we're probably going to be in Durban, so we got to fly back.
Oh, okay.
And then she's also going away for the holidays, so she needs to book her flights.
All right. Very good. Sounds like you two got everything organized.
Yeah, and given that December is the most expensive month for everyone, if you can save wherever you can, you do it.
It makes sense. It makes a huge amount of sense. All right. What is this thing about Tokyo Sekhwale? Does anybody know? Like, he says he knew the Guptas really well. He still knows them or something like that. Remember we had Tokyo in here a while ago. This is a clip I found of him.
Listen. Dangerous sentence, that.
Yeah.
These days, it's a swear word. To say this is good planning. That's exactly what needs to be investigated openly. Is there any link by any of the members of that family to this company? And if there's such a link, what is its nature and what is its currency? Myself, of course, in the past, before the Guptas became the Guptas. I know AJ very, very well, extremely well. Just like he's known, let me start by saying, you know when there's a problem, people run to the hills. Don't know you anymore. Sitting inside this room, you might have been to the Buddha home, you might have been to functions of end and ceremony called the end of the year function, which we attend from time to time, where they have leaders, and I think they have another one. By thousands of people. You know, when you ask people, have you been there before? Nobody knows them. No, it's a natural human reaction.
So you're basically saying, like, there are a lot of people in South Africa who know the Guptas, and a lot of them have been to their events and ANN7 year-end parties and things. But that is a dangerous sentence these days.
Yeah, but I mean. If you're the Guptas and your mission was to come in and run a country, it's in your best interests to know everyone.
That's a good point.
It's your mission.
It's in your best interest to know all the influential people. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who know the Guptas. Yeah.
I like the way you go, when you come in and it's your mission to run a country.
You've got to give them props for knowing why they wanted to come in here and they executed what they wanted.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's very good, very true. That first chapter of Capture for Dummies says your network is your net worth.
Yeah, know all the right people.
Exactly.
Is that from State Capture for Dummies?
Yeah.
Your network is your net worth. Huh. Who knew, Ben? I'm learning lessons every day.
I like to read.
All right, how about this? I got an email from a guy called, "Hello, my name is Reverend Paul from the UAE, and I would like to book some rooms in your hotel. I have 4 of my head managers from Sky High Travel, and I would like to book them in your place." Kindly see below for your go-ahead and to secure the rooms. And then it gives a bunch of names. For 10 days. Now, I didn't know this. Do I have a hotel?
Well, I mean, do you have a hotel?
Well, didn't day one sleep on the couch here once? Does that qualify?
Does that make it a hotel here suddenly? What is that all
about?
You
have such a good memory, Ben. Yeah. I don't remember what hell. I did yesterday.
You were here. I remember that. I think you were here. All right. I'd be keen to know what you're up to this morning and what you've got planned for the weekend. In America, they're doing Thanksgiving, which means they all take pictures with their family and they all eat a huge amount of food. And
which is no different to any other day as being an American.
Well,
I saw something really funny. It's like, oh yeah, like today's the day we overeat.
Every other day as well. Oh, wow. Hey, Tim Modise did his first show last night. Yay. On Touch Central in the My Nightlife, My Night Shift. He did his show at 6 o'clock yesterday. It was quite a big deal. I mean, Tim Modise is like a legend in broadcasting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have been on here with us as his first job after radio, it's kind of cool. You got to say, I'm very excited about that. By the way, while we're talking about what's going on Touch Central and on Cliff Central and all the rest at the moment, it's worth me saying that we're going to take this show of ours, the Gareth Cliff Show, we're going to take this off of Touch Central in the new year and move it on to just Cliff Central.
Oh.
So I'm just giving you the heads up. It's part of kind of the next evolution of that. You know, the arrangement was that we would share this show on both channels for a while just to get everything bedded down, and then we would find a different breakfast show for Touch Central. So that's going to happen in January. We'll finish our last show here on, what, the 23rd? When did we say our last show is?
This is your way of saying the next big name is making the leap from mainstream to real radio.
That's what I'm getting at. And then their failure will be complete.
Sorry, I say next big name. It would probably be last big name, right?
Well, there aren't very many left. You think about it. This is not a... You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out. Yeah, our last show will be the 22nd. The 22nd of December. So that'll be the last show we do of this on Touch Central. But, of course, you can carry on listening to us on Cliff Central from the beginning of January. And we'll be back... what is it? I think we're back on the 9th. Monday the 9th of Jan. So just... You know, pop it in your diary in case you're confused, because sometimes these things happen. And I don't want anybody saying, oh, well, you didn't tell us. Because you know how people get, Mubs. They get very upset when you don't let them know. So the arrangement was always that this show would be shared by both channels just to get Touch Central started, to kick it into first, second, third gear. And now it's flying, so we don't need to have the show on both. It's also confusing for people because this show sounds very different to everything else that goes on Touch Central, right? So we thought, we'll let people know. Anyway, we're on cliffcentral.com from the beginning of next year on, but we will be here on both for the next couple of weeks. We've only got a few weeks left. I mean, it's exactly a month till Christmas today. Can you believe that?
Yes.
What else is happening around here? There's always stuff going on. What else do I need to update you on? I see that we've got decorations in the Cliff Central studio.
Ah, it's very Christmassy in there, Gareth. Massively offensive.
Why offensive?
Well, you can't celebrate Christmas in a private capacity in this world anymore.
Not?
How very dare you?
But then the shopping malls have to pull down theirs as well.
Well, that's money. That's different.
Oh, okay. All right. What are you doing this weekend?
Today I'm watching a lot of sport and doing a lot of work. So I need to get that out of the way so I can have a proper weekend of nothingness.
But to you, those are the same thing.
Well, yeah, I guess so. No, I'm actually doing like other work now. So I'm writing for non-sporting things.
Oh.
I'm trying to like, you know, broaden my offerings as a content creator. Right.
Very good, Ben.
And then tomorrow, going to do something special during the day. Bit of a secret right now. And then for shits and giggles, I guess I'll watch the box again.
What's the secret? What's this all about?
I don't know, it's just because, you know, what if Daniela's listening?
Oh, right, it's a surprise for her. Okay. Oh. All right, well, we don't want to say any more about that because we've created an expectation.
And then Sunday, I really needed a chill day. This week's been quite difficult for me. I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted because I had like one late function and, you know, the domino effect.
It takes the wind out of your sails. How about you, Mubs?
Well, today I'm hoping to go to the launch of Icon in Soweto.
Ooh. Oh, good. That's the Span and Nave's place.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tomorrow I've got to go to the Sensui Summer Cup.
Hold on. Are you going to party like hard tonight if you go there? Or are you just going to pitch up, have a cocktail and leave?
Yeah, I'm not going to party at all.
Why?
Because I have to work. And then tomorrow...
But hang on. I mean, you're going there, right?
Yeah, I'm going there, but I'm going there with a client of mine, blah, blah, blah. It's like a whole work-related thing. Tomorrow, I've got to go to Tootfontein to the Sensui Summer Cup. That's also a work-related thing.
Hmm.
And then on Sunday, probably be family time.
All right. That sounds good. Sounds like a perfectly balanced weekend.
Yeah, balance is important.
A little bit of fun, a little bit of crazy.
And what exciting things are you doing, Gareth?
I don't know. I do know. I'm going to this. There's a friend of mine who's organizing one of these sort of festival type things. It seems like they're going to be a lot of hipsters at this thing. It's called Pure and Crafted in.
No, that's not hipsters.
Is that not hipsters?
That's bikers and.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a big bike and beard kind of thing.
Should I not go?
No, it's great. Bikes are awesome.
I thought I'd just check it out because he invited me months ago, and I thought, well, if I don't go, it'd be rude, right?
Well worth it.
Okay, so I'll go and do that. Why are you looking at me funny?
Because I'm also going to that this weekend.
Are you?
I'm going. Yeah, I'm doing both.
Oh my! So the one's
on Saturday, the other one's on Sunday.
Your weekend is going to be extra beardy.
My girlfriend's from Cape Town. She loves markets and like hipster shit.
Yeah, I just got a reminder from them. Your tickets, blah, blah, blah. It's so cool though these days. You just add things to your Apple wallet. You don't need to carry shit around.
And then it goes through on your Apple Watch and you no longer have to touch your phone.
Right.
I can't wait till my credit card is on my watch. And then I can pay for things just tapping my watch on stuff.
Hey, has anybody used this Uber Eats stuff?
Yep.
No, not yet.
Not difficult.
So it was like Mr. Delivery, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's all about the power of not having to give details, all that kind of stuff. All you want in life.
All right, let me try that out maybe sometime this next couple of weeks.
How was your lunch with Eugene Koza and Rabin?
Wow, I'm so glad you brought that up. It was 3.5 hours long.
Oh,
you know I want to get out of a place after an hour. But we had such a fun time talking. And Eugene didn't eat a thing.
What?
He didn't have anything to eat.
Too busy eating.
No.
Sorry, talking.
No, he didn't order anything. He didn't want anything to eat. He didn't have a bit of the salad. Rabin and I ate like pigs. Eugene just sat there. He didn't eat a damn thing.
Did he have a kilogram biltong before?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know what he did. But we had a really good conversation. It was just one of those lunches where everybody's just bouncing off each other, and Eugene had some amazing stories to tell. I've decided I've got to get him back in here early next year, and we even discussed whether or not they should do a podcast or not, which could be quite cool, the two of them.
Yeah, well, anything which is with Eugene from the start.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's definitely. But the two of them are damn interesting, and they really, I mean, like they know a lot about each other's families and stuff. You know, I like that because it shows you that people aren't just superficially connected for, you know, for work stuff.
For benefits.
What they can get out of each other.
Mutually beneficial relationships.
Right. They really get along. And also Eugene kind of, he just told some really great stories of like experiences he's been on. And we all have quite a lot of common ground, which is nice. There's a lot we all enjoy talking about and that we're all interested in. Let me tell you about the lineup today. We got Heavy K coming in. Heavy K is, give us the down low on this. This guy is like a music producer, songwriter, producer, DJ.
So Heavy K is one of the big time producers.
Yeah.
He produced that Nasty C song.
Right.
I'ma get my juice.
What?
What's the juice back?
Mm? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've now completely forgot like the rhythm, so how it goes.
This is juice.
That's okay. That's okay.
So he produced that song, which is mega hit.
Yeah.
And he's worked with a lot of guys, and just how he started off, I think he won like a competition, and that's how he really got into the game.
Hmm.
And then after that, we got the Dacha couple coming back.
All right.
Gareth phoned me yesterday to tell me that they were thinking, or they have passed a new rule.
No, the I think it's a medical control council issue. They're looking at the benefits of medical marijuana, medicinal marijuana. You know, it can be used in palliative care. It can be used to help people who are in really horrible pain. It kind of, it helps. It can be very useful as a, just a pain reliever and a stress reliever and all that kind of thing. So it has certain medicinal products. And a lot of people have been agitating about this for the longest time. So we thought, well, you know what? Try and get the Dacha couple in here. So Julian and Myrtle will come by. They, of course, have been at the forefront of standing up for the legalization of Dacha. And at least the decriminalization of this stuff. I mean, can you imagine that there are people in our jails? I haven't heard of a case in a long time, thank goodness. And dealers are a separate issue. But can you imagine that there are people who are locked up in jail for smoking weed? Isn't that the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Well, now, yes, it is.
It's, you know, ridiculous.
In hindsight and in relation to other crimes.
Mad. Stupid. Right?
Do you know who got busted for having pot on them the other day?
Who?
The Jonas brother, but like the one we don't care about. The youngest one.
Who's that?
So there's the three Never Jonas brothers, there's the outcast brother.
There's Nick and there's Joe.
No, there's another one.
There's no other Jonas brothers.
No, there is. There's a third one.
No, there's a fourth one. That's what Flex is saying.
Really?
There's a fourth one. No. I wish I could get his name, but I don't think Wikipedia even knows who he is.
I saw a really funny tweet. I know exactly which one you're talking about. He was going on Twitter the other day, and then someone retweeted whatever they were talking about and said, "See, this is why no one likes you. You're the worst Jonas brother ever."
Oh, shame. That's horrible.
I think we're talking... Wait. Hang on.
They're not even listing him under as members.
Yeah, well, he was never a member, Flex.
Well, see, there's the Jonas Brothers as a family, and there's the Jonas Brothers as a band.
Is it Frankie Jonas?
Yes, Frankie.
Frankie
so
Jonas.
So he got busted for carrying pot the other day.
No way, there's no reason. Frankie Jonas, that such a thing exists?
He's only 16.
Shame.
No excuse.
Oh, wow. All right. And I see our president, he just won't go away in the news. I also saw a poster that was tweeted out this morning where they're giving a Jacob Zuma memorial lecture. Now, normally you give a memorial lecture when someone's dead. So I got all excited for a minute and then I realized, no, the idiots who invited him to speak at something just don't know what a memorial lecture is. Dummies. But he's really surrounded himself with the dumbest people.
Which is possibly the smartest thing he's done for himself.
Well,
for himself.
For now.
For his benefits.
No, for now.
If you want to create a barrier, you use thick things, right?
Yeah.
No, I suppose so. That's a very... Now, there's another pearl of wisdom.
Yeah, look Isn't at you, Ben.
So what was the one about network? Your net worth is your...
Network is your net worth.
And now this one, if you want to what? Create a barrier?
You use thick things.
Listen to Ben. He's full of all kinds of wisecracks this morning. This is terrific. Yes, Flex.
If you surround yourself with stupid people, it makes you look brighter.
Well, it just allows you to better manipulate the people you've surrounded yourself with.
Yeah, that
is.
You're
the one in control.
Yeah. I don't like hanging around dumb people. I've said before, I don't mind, you know, if someone is really beautiful, being around them for a little while, but not for the long term. Right? I mean, really, there's just no way. Eventually it eats away at you. And it's like if you have sex with an ugly person, you get a bit uglier. If you have conversations with dumb people, you get a bit dumber. And there are objectively dumb people in the world. I hate to be the one who says this because it's not considered very friendly or polite or hospitable to say that there are... We all know... You know some very dumb people. Come on.
Yeah.
Open up and be honest about
it. Yeah, sure.
Mubs, you know some dumb people. Come on, we all do.
Look, I'm just sitting here wondering if somebody who knows me considers me a dumb person.
Oh, boy.
Because that's another thing that you don't think about.
No, I don't think so.
It's other people who know you, they put you in the dumb pile.
Oh, no, I hope not.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know.
No. I don't think any of us can actually be called dumb. We can call it very, like, a variety of things. Dumb, maybe not. Dumb is dumb. I mean, there's no gray areas here. I don't think any of us fall into that just yet.
Do you know someone who's really, really clever who you would aspire to be as clever as?
Yeah, lots of people. If you don't have those in your life, you'll never be clever yourself.
I'm trying to think who. Just like the really dumb people. They've all run out of my head. Really dumb, really clever. You got to be somewhere in between.
Well, there's a discussion point for the weekend. Huh? Go through your all friends right. analytically and go.
Wouldn't that be fun? Categorize your phone book.
She really is dumb.
Imagine rating the intelligence. Try this with your friends. You want to have a fight this weekend? You want to make things uncomfortable? Get together for lunch or a dinner or something with your friends and then sit around the table and everybody has to rate each other's intelligence out of 5.
That's brilliant.
Can you imagine what would happen? Flax, you're shaking your head.
No, don't go do that at your dinner table. You're just going to lose friends. You don't sit around at dinner. Did you at yesterday's lunch be like, I wonder out of these two, which is smarter?
No, because we were just having fun. You're right.
But I do have one friend, which he's an absolute genius of note.
Really?
I envy his brain. Like, his way of thinking is just analytical and it just surpasses everyone. He's also an actuary at the same time.
Okay, well, yeah, those guys are smart.
He can just do everything somehow in his head.
Somehow actuaries... Like, you don't meet dumb actuaries. It's too difficult to get through
well,
that if you're
dumb. You can't
be
an actuary if you're dumb.
Yeah, but then there are different kinds of clever as well. I mean, like, some people are really good at creative stuff, but they're not necessarily good with numbers. Some people are very good at language, but they're not necessarily good with, hand-eye coordination. There are all kinds of people who have different talents.
You know how, like, people stereotype accountants as, like, boring and nerdy and stuff like
yes.
that?
Yeah.
So I have not found a actuary that is boring or nerdy or anything like that, and I've never heard someone stereotype an actuary. The actuaries I know are they party the hardest. I find they barely do any work.
Yeah,
but they're still the smartest.
Well, they're basically a commercial genius. That's what they are, and you don't find too many of them. So that's why there's no stereotypes just yet.
All right, everybody, we got to get to news in a moment. We'll do that in a second and also find out about what's in the sport and the money and everything else. Touchcentral.fm, cliffcentral.com, 27 after 6.
So I just came out to move the goddamn, to hear this shit right here.
I know I shouldn't be playing this, but it's been in my head the whole fucking day yesterday. So just do yourself a favor. Just forget about how ridiculous it is. And go with it for just a second. What is you thinking? We are the blanket. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I know. Like, this annoys a lot of people. This song is.
Bill Bridges, better not burn. Better be the number one concern. Hey, I got big dollars in a German.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it is, actually.
So what do we know about this guy? He dresses in women's clothing.
Well, he has...
I love him. He's fantastic.
He's partly marketed his branding around wearing untraditional things. And in some instances, he wears like skirts and
young thug
kind of thing.
Young thug.
What a genius. Yes.
What a genius. What a talent.
Yeah, hey, listen.
I want to buy the whole album now.
Okay, then do.
I'm serious. I love this.
All right.
Remember, the same goddamn thing happened with me with 4 or 5 Seconds.
Okay.
That Rihanna and Kanye and Paul McCartney song. Same thing. I hated it when I heard it the first time. I was like, this is ridiculous. This isn't a song. And then it gets stuck in your head and you fall in love. Flax, you hate this song.
I hate it.
Oh, no.
I think it's the stupidest song. It's the stupidest song of 2016. There we go. They came in right at the end and stole the prize.
Oh, well. I'm sorry you feel that way. That hurts my feelings.
I'm even looking at him. He looks like a Dennis Rodman, young thug, with that thing in his nose.
Oh, right.
Looks exactly like Dennis Rodman.
I'm impressed that that Dennis Rodman is in your sphere. I mean, you know about him.
Yeah, he was on The Apprentice.
He's kind of a has-been, though, you know. Like, not many people talk about Dennis Rodman anymore. In fact, you just mentioned him. Now he's going to call you in about 5 minutes and go, what you want? Because he's looking for work. All right, everybody, let's get stuck in. We've got so much to talk about this morning. It is time for the news, which is brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. And, of course, they make the finest pizzas, they make the best pastas, they make the greatest salads. And you aren't going to believe me, so go and try it for yourself, and then you can figure out whether or not I'm talking shit. I'm that sure that what they're doing is good. Go and have a listen. Go and have a taste and listen to the news. Here's Mubs with the latest in the headlines. Take it away, Mubs.
Okay, so the civic rights groups, Freedom Under Law and the Helen Suzman's Foundation, they were probably hoping yesterday that their application to have the president forced to fire Sean Abrahams from his position as NPA head would be successful. Maybe you were hoping it would be successful too.
Yeah.
But the South African courts have decided that actually there is insufficient grounds to have Sean Abrahams removed from his position. Freedom Under Law and the Helen Suzman Foundation felt that their application was not premature, but according to Judge Dustin Mlambo yesterday, he disagreed with them, in fact, ruling that there were insufficient grounds for the urgent application to force the president to suspend Abrahams. Arguments were heard on the urgency of their application, but the full bench of judges ruled that the matter is not urgent. So there you go. Now deal with it.
That's funny. Matter's not urgent. Kind of like trying to find stuff in Praveen. Sorry, that was urgent. Yeah.
Yeah. This Sean Abrahams thing has got so complicated because it's now him versus the president.
Yes, because...
Just a short while ago, he was protecting the president.
Yes, because remember...
He thought that was his job.
The president had asked him
yeah.
To supply reasons why he should keep his job.
Right. It's so messed up.
And now the courts have decided insufficient grounds. So we're not going to rule in favor of your application to force the president to fire him. And I mean, what can you do after the courts decide something?
Nothing. It's
nothing.
Done.
Nothing. It's done. So
thank God the courts work, huh? What would we do if the courts didn't work in this country? Can you imagine what a disgrace it would be? We would all be working. We'd be plowing fields for Jacob Zuma. We would. You'd have the Guptas up on a horse on the four wheeler, and they'd have a whip and they'd be beating us all, and we'd be working in the fields for Jacob Zuma. That's what would be happening if we didn't have courts. Next time you see a judge, you should fall down on your knees in front of them and start kissing their shoes. Say thank you for being a judge. Thank you for being an independent member of the judiciary. We need you.
No, you know who we do need. And he'll tell you that Jesus. We need him. Not Jesus.
Oh.
Better than Jesus.
Better than Jesus?
Better than Jesus.
Oh, hang on. Let me rack my brain. This is a big deal. Better than Jesus.
Better than JC.
It's not possible.
It is possible.
Really?
It's possible according to the man himself, okay?
Better than Jesus.
Claudia Mutsoneng.
Oh, okay.
Because in Claudia Mutsoneng's words, he said that I am here to save South Africa. He said, people didn't believe that Jesus could save them, but he did. And he said he is here for the exact same reason. He is here to save South Africa. He was speaking outside court yesterday, where he was still energized after 2 days of lengthy technical argument. Mutsoneng walked down the court steps yesterday. There were, according to some media reports, about 100 of the friends of Claudi gathered outside the Western Cape High Court. And he told them that I can change South Africa and I will be able to do that within the next 6 months. He said, I am here to save South Africa. He still has that thing, you see, Claudi Mutsoneng. I quote, because when you read the Bible, old people didn't believe that Jesus Christ was there to save them. I am here to save South Africa, and I've already demonstrated that I can save South Africa.
Hmm. Do you think Claudi Mutsoneng can save South Africa if he couldn't even save the SABC?
I don't think it matters what we think, Gareth. I think the only thing that ever matters regarding Claudi Mutsoneng is what Claudi Mutsoneng thinks.
But I'd love to know what he thinks he's saving us from, because... The problem is cretins like him. So, what is this amazing force he's saving us from? if he's not the problem.
Tladi, you want to save South Africa, Tladi? Stab yourself in the heart and bleed to death on the corridor. That's how you save South Africa. The single biggest thing that Tladi could do to save South Africa is to run headlong into a wall 23 times.
Now, the court reserved judgment yesterday in the DA case against Tladi Motsoeneng. Remember, the DA really want this guy out of the SABC.
Well, who doesn't? I haven't met anybody who loves and respects and wants him around, except for those people who gather around him when he says halala I think it's in the Free State where he's from. That's where his support base is, right?
Western Cape High Court Judge André Legrandsi indicated that it might be delivered before the end of December, after they announced yesterday that they were reserving judgment. So I guess it's another waiting game for Motsoeneng to find out exactly what his fate is. There is only one board member left at the SABC, and that is the chairperson, Professor Maguve, right?
He's the one-man board.
I've even lost track of what position Tladi Motsoeneng holds, because at one point he was moved to the radio department as the head of radio. And then yesterday it surfaced that South African musicians are owed up to 25 million rand in royalty payments by the SABC.
He was the one who put in this 90% rule, and then all those musicians were big fat. Now watch those musicians suddenly change their tune.
Yes, no. Phumzile van Dam of the DA yesterday.
What a fuck up.
She's the DA spokesperson.
This guy's such a fuck up.
She revealed yesterday that there are two societies who represent South African musicians. They are known as SAMPRA and IMPRA.
Yeah.
The South African Music Performance Rights Association and the Independent Music Performance Rights Association. And they've discovered that South African musicians have been owed this amount since 2014 by the SABC's radio division. This is in royalty payments.
Yes. Yeah. I want to see all those musicians now, because they're such, you know what? They only care about themselves. Like I said, they don't mind seeing the utter destruction of every radio station on the whole SABC lineup, mm-mm, just so they can get some royalty payments. And then guess what happens? They don't get their royalty payments, you douchebags. Who was that musician who was at the forefront of all of this?
Well, there were a number of them.
Yeah, but there was some guy who was making the most noise about, like, Tladi is a hero. Thank God for Tladi. Remember, he was going on about what a genius Tladi is. I'm trying to think who it is.
Well, look, they probably thought that this was going to be a huge game changer for them as artists, only to discover, you know, 2 years down the line that
they're never going to get anything.
That they haven't been paid what's due to them. And so Phumzile van Dam yesterday said, this 90% local content policy has now been revealed to be nothing more than an attempt to gain the public support of South Africa's musicians during Tladi Motsoeneng's legal woes. I would be very upset if I was a musician and I was owed royalty payments.
See, this is how these guys expect to... They all want to get rich quick, and they thought, Tladi's given us... This is what's going to happen now. We're all going to be as rich as those international musicians, because these guys are dumb. They play guitars and they sing, and they're not genius people. There are musicians who are very clever, but most of them are just like they learned to string three or four chords together, and now they think they're genius. So anyway, they see the story in the news about Tladi going 90%, and they're like, that means we get royalties for airplay. No one in the history of humanity has ever got rich from royalties for airplay, you douchebags. So now, obviously, the chickens come home to roost, and all these idiots are going to end up with just as little money as they had before stupid Tladi made his stupid rules for stupid musicians to get excited about. The whole lot of you are a dumb bunch of fools, and all that's happened is the SABC's radio stations have been eviscerated. That's all.
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with musicians wanting what's due to them, and we know that historically in this country, South African musicians have not been taken care of.
They don't take care of themselves. Who did we have in here the other day who was talking about this very thing?
No, man, I mean that they could be making more money.
Well, of course, so could you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is all they want is what's due to them. Like, they're not asking for the world.
No. I'm talking about specifically these ones who got all excited and were out there saying what a hero Tladi is. And we all know that the only reason they were excited about it is because they were going to make money. They thought they'd make money. Well, it turns out because the SABC is so messed up, so corrupt, and so useless, you're not going to get anything. You're not even going to get what's due to you, Mubs.
Look, it's unfortunate, which is why I'm saying I would be very frustrated if I was one of these musicians.
Absolutely. Yes, Flax.
I just want to know, how does it work with, like, who keeps track of how many times my song is played and who's going to be paying me and stuff like that?
The radio stations are mandated by law to do that.
And they can't, like, lie and say, no, we didn't play your AKA song.
If you lie, you get fined. There's an organization called SAMRO, it's now SARL, and then there's another one called CAPASO. And even here, with every song we play, it gets logged.
And you wouldn't know exactly how much I get paid each time someone plays my song once.
No, you wouldn't know that, but it's worked out. The station will pay a certain amount. In other words, if, let's say you make 20 million rand as a station, then 5% of your total net revenue you have to pay to the to SAMRO or CAPASO. And then they distribute that to the artists.
According to how many times their song has been played.
Well, they have their own mechanism. Once the radio station pays, so if radio station makes 100 million bucks.
A percentage.
Then 5 million rand has to go straight to SAMRO or SARL, right?
Okay.
Then that 5%, from all the radio stations, they then distribute to the artists according to who gets the most airplay and who gets the least. Because they've got all the records. It's very well administered on paper. In theory, it's very well administered.
I'm pretty sure 2016 AKA got the most airplay out of anyone.
Probably.
Every time I stepped into the car, his song was playing.
Yeah, but he's not making most of his money from airplay.
No, it's probably from gigs.
If you think about it, like if everybody puts in their 5 million and then eventually, and most stations are running at a loss, so they don't make any money, then, you know, there might be a pot at the end of it of like 10, 20 million, and then that gets distributed between all artists, international and local. You're going to make a couple of hundred bucks if you're lucky. Yeah. So, you know, these idiots who were so excited about Cloudy, the point was, you're never going to get rich from this. This doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to become Prince, Michael Jackson.
Well, I mean, you don't have the international appeal, so of course you'll never become Prince or Michael Jackson.
Well, usually the reason that you didn't get playlisted before the 90% rule is because your music was shit. Then they brought in the 90% rule, so even the stuff that you'd never have played as a radio station gets on the playlist. So those people, they finally got their song played. Not necessarily because the audience wanted it. They didn't even ask the audience in this case. This is the whole problem with Cloudy. He didn't ask the people who listened to his stations. The most important people on the planet for the SABC are the people who listen to you. Because without them, you've got nothing. And now he's got nothing because he's lost most of his audiences.
No, but what he does have is the ability to save us. And he is going to. Because Jesus did it, and so can he.
Oh, come on.
He's got that thing. Yes.
That thing, huh? Yeah, that's the one. Let's give him a round of applause. You go, Cloudy. It's time to check in with Ben and see what's going on in the sport.
Two early wickets for the Proteas. They got the debutant Renshaw, and then Warner came and Warner went. Warner gone for 11. He is their big best batsman. Khawaja and Smith are looking pretty handy though at the crease. Khawaja himself is now into the late 20s, which for Australians, well, you kind of raise your bat when you get there. Not 50, of course. Anything over 25 is a success for them. 66 for 2 they are right now. Interesting day ahead because it's going to be very hot. Pitch going to bake a little bit, and this pink ball is no doubt going to be quite troublesome to play. So 259 the Proteas got yesterday. Faf du Plessis, what an absolute legend. He got 118, walked out to a whole bunch of boos because, well, you know, Australians. So he got 118 and then decided, you know what, screw you guys, how about you guys have a bat. So 9 wickets down with a very modest total. He thought, let's have a bowl. This guy is just doing such ballsy things right now, and he has to be the test captain going forward. I think everyone knows that, and I'm sure AB de Villiers knows that. Even though when AB de Villiers comes back from injury, he will still be captain according to CSA. But no, it's Faf du Plessis, because he's got elephant balls.
Good for him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want.
Elephant balls.
Yep, that got Mubs' attention.
If you want to pick a captain, look at the balls. Big ones, pick them. Another cricket. New Zealand lost the toss, were put into bat, 77 for 2, and then all rain, because that's what happens in New Zealand, basically. It just rains all day. So they are, play has been abandoned on 77 for 2. Pakistan getting a couple of wickets, but yeah, not much to look at there when you got so much to look at with the Proteas. What a test match that's going to be. In rugby, well, Alistair Coetzee, many think, has just said, you know what, fuck it. He's made 7 changes to his team. He's thinking, if no one's going to win, no one's going to play, let's just ring the changes and see what happens. So people are criticizing him on this. Of course they are, because you can't be a bot coach and not be criticized. That's against the law. Personally, I think he had no other option. This is the thing. The Boks are at rock bottom right now. People can't forget that. Like, last week, we lost to Italy. That's reality. We can't just forget that and go, oh, well, it's Saturday, the Boks must now win again. This is a very, very cuck team right now. It's not good whatsoever. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't gloss over it the slightest. So Alex Garcia said, well, you know, I've been let down by my selections. Or you could think that maybe he's let us down with his selections. So he's made changes. So this is the team. Johan Kirsten at 15. Rowan Combrink at 14. New centre pairing again. Francois Venter, Rowan Jans Verensburg finally gets a run. About 8 months too late, but there you go. Jumbo Alengo, he's not in. Brian O'Banner's been turfed out. Elton Junction and Faf de Klerk have been thrown back in for the halfbacks. Now, the loose trio has kind of been out of sync for the whole year. Now it really does look very different and green and quite light. Warren Whiteley, Uzair Kasim, and Nassim Carr. So people say, well, that's very light. That's a very inexperienced loose trio. But then again, we were very heavy and experienced against England, and we took an absolute dicking. So again, I don't know how people can actually criticize this team, because we are just so cuck right now. Lou Diago and Peter Steptoe make up the lock pairing, and then the front row is Lawrence Adrian. So Adrian, last test Strauss, and Tendaim Tarariwa. So that is what your team looks like. The bench is Malcolm Mark, Stephen Kitsoff, Trevor Nyakani, Franco Mostert, Jean-Luc Duplessis, Pete Fonsell, Pat Lambie, and Lionel Mapu. Is this team going to beat Wales? Well, like I said earlier in the week, Wales also quite cuck right now. I wouldn't say they're going to beat Wales. You know, I personally put money down on the Boks winning with a handicap of 9.5 points. Conservative, I know, but you can't expect anything from this team, because we have no evidence to think it's going to be amazing. It's as simple as that. It's a long-term solution needed here. It's just a couple of changes, not going to change anything result-wise. But hey, it's an exciting team, and people do like that at least. So go, Boca, go. In other international rugby before the weekend, you need to look out for. Okay, not those two games. You couldn't care about that. England versus Argentina, that's one. 4:30. Then Scotland versus Georgia at 4:30. Ireland versus Australia at 7:30. That's going to be probably the game of the weekend. And then France versus New Zealand at 10. The Boc game, of course, is 7:30. Played in Wales, so look out for a fantastic national anthem. The Welsh sing like no one's business. That's their big thing. Other test match cricket to look forward to this weekend, from tomorrow morning at 6, India versus England. That'll be the third test there. India currently 1-0 up in that series. In football, it's the Telkom Knockout Cup. We've got two big games for you this weekend from the local perspective. Cape Town City versus Free State Stars at 3, and SuperSport United versus Orlando Pirates at 6. Now, if you remember not so long ago, SuperSport United were 6, Orlando Pirates were 1. Orlando Pirates then lost their coach. So, a bit of a rematch there. Interesting to see how that goes in the cup perspective. English Premier League for the weekend. We've got Burnley versus Man City at 2:30 on Saturday. Leicester versus Middlesbrough at 5. Swansea versus Crystal Palace at 5. Liverpool versus Sunderland at 5. Chelsea versus Spurs at 7:30. Everyone is chasing Chelsea. Chelsea is the hot team right now. On Sunday, we've got Arsenal versus Bournemouth at 15 past 4. Southampton versus Everton at 30 past 6. And Man United versus West Ham also at 30 past 6. Those are your big fixtures for the weekend. Football-wise, Formula One, well, basically, if Hamilton doesn't... Okay, Hamilton has to win this weekend to try to retain the title, right? And if he does that, then Rosberg must finish fourth or lower. Basically, if Hamilton finishes second, Rosberg must finish sixth or lower. Sorry, outside the top six. And if Hamilton finishes third, then we'll basically Rosberg's car must explode. So what you can take out of that is Rosberg is a huge favorite, and Hamilton is actually having a bit of a cry about this already. There was a talk, well, the press conference yesterday, where he was talking about the fact that his crew from last year, the guys who were hands-on with his car, were kind of redistributed towards Rosberg. So Mercedes were trying to basically...
There's a lot of skullduggery in this Formula One, huh?
Mercedes were trying to balance the sort of talent spreadsheet, right? So give Rosberg some better backroom staff. Hamilton was like, this is bullshit. I'm the champion. These are my guys. This is what I want. But then Mercedes just threw it around a bit. So then Hamilton was pressed on this question, and he said, well, maybe in about 10 years' time, when I release a book, you can really find out what's going on. So talk about bitterness, huh? That's all going to come to a head. Abu Dhabi Grand Prix on Saturday.
That was never Sunday. Ben, that was never going to end well.
No.
No. So, and this is within teams.
Yeah, so Hamilton's basically saying...
Aren't they meant to be focused on the enemy being the other team?
Well, see, because their cars are so good, there is no enemy. They won the Drivers' Championship, like, I don't know, months ago. No one cares. I mean, Ferrari is fighting against Thunder against Mercedes. All the other teams, same thing. Red Bull had a dominant time, but they went down the tubes as well. So it's Mercedes, Mercedes, Mercedes. And in the golf, it's the World Cup of Golf. Right now, they're playing foursomes and four balls. It's already happening. Also in Australia, so if you like some morning action, then World Cup of Golf, along with the cricket. That's pretty much all your big highlights for the weekend. More sport in the next hour.
All right. Thank you, Ben. When we come back, we'll chat to Henry. He's going to stand in for Anthea this morning, give us the money shot. That's coming up next. Who? What? No?
No, Anthea's in. She's just in Cape Town.
Oh, I thought she wasn't on today.
That was just yesterday. Today she's in Cape Town. She's probably going surfing this weekend.
Nice. All right. Well, I'm glad it's Anthea. Not that I have any problem with Henry. He did a very good job yesterday. But Anthea's, you know, she's our money shot. That's how it works. Your calls, 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're up to. What up, y'all? Yeah. The weekend is here, baby. It's Friday. Woo! Y'all ain't know. I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco, representing that first and 15. Lupe Fiasco with Kick Push. You like that?
Very nice.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes to seven. Wow, we're getting to Anthea later and later every day. I'm sorry, it's very undisciplined of me. Let's get straight to it. It is time for us to find out what's going on with the money. It's fair about out there that's working hard for their money, after getting how they live, doing what they got to do to make ends meet. American dream, the almighty God. I work hard for my money, so yes, you do. Here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. It is a bit later every day, but
I'm
at least
sorry.
We still have the song. That's important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't want to leave that out. All right, so let's get to it because I've taken up enough of your time. What do we need to know this morning?
So, most importantly, the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee decided unanimously yesterday to leave the repo rate unchanged, even though they are seeing inflation above the upper target band, and it's clearly making them very uncomfortable. I think they're much more cognizant of the lack of growth at this stage. And just on that subject, the bank also said that they now expect GDP growth for this year to be 0.4% and next year 1.2%. So the governor actually said that the bank thinks this is the bottom of the cycle. I'm not sure we've seen any evidence of a turnaround yet. And from 0.4 to 1.2 is a tripling of the growth. You know, there are a couple of things. So I realize we're coming off a low base and we're probably going to have a fairly good growth. We're probably going to see fairly good growth in the agricultural sector because the drought's now over and we are coming off this low base. And in fact, yesterday I was speaking to a friend who said he's expecting the wine grape farmers to have a bumper crop this year. So maybe those little signs of evidence, but you know, nothing else. I mean, we're still sitting with very high unemployment. Consumers are under pressure. And of course, there were a lot of questions about the rating agencies yesterday, because today we've got Moody's giving us their decision about whether or not they're going to downgrade us. So this is not the big one, though. With Moody's, we're still two notches above sub-investment grade. So even if they do downgrade us, we still keep our investment grade status. I think what today will be, though, is an indication of what Standard & Poor's will say next week, because they're the ones, if they downgrade us, then we go into junk status.
We don't want that at all costs.
No, exactly. And then the market spent most of the day yesterday in kind of a wait-and-see situation. The all-share traded flat, volumes very low, just about $1 billion traded. So, of course, it's the U.S. on holiday, and just we're not sure what's going to happen. Resources higher, industrials, financials quite a bit lower. Strange that the banks were under so much pressure yesterday. But I guess, again, you know, if we get downgraded today, these banks are like really just going to plummet. So and again, you know, it's a binary situation. It's kind of, we'll just have, we're in Moody's and Standard and Poor's hands at the moment. And the rand kind of did not very much yesterday, slightly stronger, 14.15 to the dollar, which kind of, yeah, again, it's just a wait and see situation. And then, you know, we've spoken quite a bit about Rhodes Food Group, and I think earlier this week I mentioned that it's fast becoming my favorite share. And then yesterday they announced that they'd done a 662 million rand capital raise. They issued 25 million shares at 26 rand 50. The share closed above 28 the day before, or Wednesday's close was closer to 28.50. And so the capital raise, it's only 2% discount to what we call the 30-day VWAP, which stands for volume-weighted average price. Mm-hmm. And we use this 30-day VWAP because the last thing you want is for the company or traders to manipulate the share ahead of a capital raise, because obviously the higher the share price when you go to market to raise money, the more money you raise. Mm. So anyway, back to Rhodes. We're talking about Rhodes. So you remember they bought two companies recently, Paco and Ma Baker, and they spent about, I think it was 420 million rand. So the unfortunate thing about a capital raise of this nature is that when you issue new shares, it does have a dilutory effect on the share price. So the share was down 7% yesterday. Oh. So that's the bad thing about it. And the good thing about it, though, is that they now have 600 and odd million rand to go on a little shopping spree, and it definitely strengthens their balance sheet. So if they get it right, in the medium to long term, it will definitely be good for the share price.
Okay.
It's kind of a not great after I called it a buy and it fell 7%, but hey, we'll hold on for a bit longer.
You know, sometimes you've got to wait for these things to realize their value, and they didn't buy these assets because they want to waste money. They bought them because they think they can turn them into profit.
There you go. There it is, exactly.
All right.
And then Asia's mixed, but on balance positive this morning, so hopefully we'll see a nice little bounce there. But I don't expect much volume or much to happen today before the Moody's announcement. And if we do get downgraded, I think you'll see the Rand blow out. You'll probably see bond deals increase or blow out as well, and the banks will fall. If we don't, then I think it's business as usual.
Now, what happens to the share prices of our stock market sort of picks when we have a downgrade? I mean, will they also drop?
Yeah, absolutely. So the financial shares and retailers will fall. Any company that is highly geared to their debt, so if they have huge debt which they need to raise, because with a downgrade, the cost of borrowing money increases. That's the big issue that I have with this downgrade, and that South Africa can barely afford it. And if you're a company that needs to go to market to borrow to grow your business, then when you borrow, that money will cost you more. Hmm. And so, yes, so the big kind of sectors that will fall are financials, the banks particularly, and retail shares.
Okay.
Those are my biggest concern.
All right, so let's just hold thumbs that that doesn't happen. And Anthea, for people who still don't know what hashtag invest is, just give us the quickest summary you can possibly manage.
Okay, so hashtag invest, we've created four portfolios which you can be invested in for just simply 100 rand, really changing the way, you know, kind of investment or saving in South Africa is done. Because before, if you needed to save or be part of the stock market, you need to go through a unit trust, which is probably would have been your best option, but you need a minimum of 1,000 rand a month, or you need kind of 20,000 rand in lump sum. But with hashtag invest, you can do it for just 100 rand. You get to choose one or a combination of the four portfolios, so anything from very conservative to relatively risky portfolios. The conservative portfolios are made up of bonds and what we call commercial paper or short-dated debt instruments. And the risky assets really are just a portfolio of full shares. Mm.
All equity.
And all equity, that's right. And, you know, so if you're a short-term investor, then I'd say stay in the kind of conservative or the stable portfolio. But if you're a longer-term investor and you've got time on your side, then take advantage of it, because having time in the stock market is exactly what you need. You know, the market moves up and down, and there's no – I can't predict what will happen next year. I mean, I'd like to think that if we are at the bottom of the cycle, we could see a 20% rise in our stock market next year. But I can't – I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict it. But over the long term, the stock market does perform much better than your kind of interest-yielding instruments.
And just to let people, I mean, this is a fantastic thing to do. I'm going to give my my brother's two kids, they're tiny, they don't know what the hell it is. They don't know what anything is at the moment. So rather than buying them a stupid plastic toy, I'm going to set up one of these accounts for them and put $100 a month in every month from now until they're, you know, until I'm gone, and they can have a nice share portfolio by the time they get to 21.
They will be well set up by the time they get to 21, yeah. Because if the market increases by 12% on average a year, every six years, you're doubling your money. And we're on a run rate of about 15% per annum in the stock market. And of course, this is where I have to say, past performance.
There's no indication of future value. Yeah. Now, listen, if I decide I don't like my nephews and they get to 21 and I've made them all this money, I can just take it for myself.
I guess you could.
Yeah, I'm not going to put. Yeah, right.
Okay.
All right, but there's a good idea. You know what? It's Christmas time, and everybody gives each other stupid shit that they don't keep, that you end up re-gifting. And if you're not sure, open up one of these. Open up an investment account for your relative.
And if they already have these portfolios open, you can actually send them vouchers. So that's quite nice.
See, that's the way to go. This is the new form of investing. Get in there and get onto it and don't miss out. All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Have a good weekend.
Very good. You too. Anthea Gardner, a look at your money. Are you ready for the weekend? Are you ready to either have a wild blowout like Mabali's planning for tonight, or a nice, quiet, do-nothing weekend? Whatever it is.
Thanks, Nick.
We're here to help you into it. CliffCentral.com.